started. So welcome, everybody, to our first work meeting of the brand new year. And the first thing, usually Scott takes care of that conflict of interest disclosure, but he is sick today and won't be here. And so the form is right on the top of your pile. If you need a reminder of what you did last year, on the district website under forms, it's under required
documents. Do you have to fill this out every year?
Every year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember filling that last year, but
yeah.
I was new.
So once you get that done, just make sure we hand those off to Jana. If you want to pass them down this way or pass them to the middle, we'll just put them in a pile and hand them to her.
Perfect.
I think last year I put my employer. Is that, I don't know if that's a conflict, mm-hmm. but that would be
I looked right. back because I couldn't remember, so I looked on the website. I just glanced through everybody's. I think you had your employer, your husband's, and I don't remember.
So, did you say it's collecting these? They ultimately go to Scott, but are you taking them?
Right here.
I will.
Or just passing them down and we'll turn them into Jana. Andrea can add hers and send them down to Jana.
You okay?
Let me know when you're ready for me to.
we'll give Andrea
you
just.
Guys can go. I just was having problems with getting on the internet.
Another minute. You want to go ahead, Andrea?
Yeah, you guys.
Because we're happy to wait a minute for you. Okay, so item number two on our agenda is Robert's Rules, and Angie went to the USBA breakout that they had at our conference, and so I've asked her kind of just update us on anything that she learned there that we might all benefit from. So I'm actually just going to turn the time over to her, and after she does Robert's Rules, let's just take about 5 minutes or so for each one of us, and if there's something after that that you want to add, you know, if there was another little additional something from the conference that a takeaway that you want all of us to hear, go ahead and do it at that time, and then we'll just have everybody take a turn.
Okay. This one's not recorded, right? So I don't need the mic on.
It's recorded.
It is recorded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is on. Okay. So I emailed out a couple of the screenshots with my pictures that I took with my phone before he went to the next slide. They mentioned that they were going to send the slides out. I don't know how to get those, but anyway, so I sent those to you on email. Somewhere, I think there's probably like a cheat sheet or something in our board packet or somewhere. I just don't have to like reference quick on some of the main types of motions, and so one of the screenshots is like moving to adjourn. I move that we recess. I learned that one. That was like, I think for bigger districts where they're going hours and hours, I heard of some that were going till 10, 11 o'clock at night and starting in the afternoon, 2 or 3. I was like, oh my goodness. Thank goodness we don't have that.
We've actually recessed occasionally, like maybe we have a public hearing or something, and we'll
I move that we recess for 5 minutes, maybe I need a bathroom break. Things are getting heated or something. I don't know. I mean, there could be a variety of things. And I know that we've already experienced it going into a closed session so anyway, that one's available. So that's, if you're on your email, the most frequently used motions and actions. Sorry, I can forward this to you if you want. Postponing something, like if there's a discussion and like you're not coming to a consensus or even wanting to vote, I guess, like you can postpone that until the next meeting. One that I took probably more notes on was a substitute versus an amendment to the motion. So a substitute motion is where you're changing the majority of the core stuff. It's a significant change, kind of a totally different idea. Making an amendment is just kind of a minor tweak. For instance, like if I move to amend something, then it's just a date change or something like that. That table also talks about like if there's a second needed for the motion. And I think we already talked about this in one of our other work sessions, that a second doesn't necessarily mean that you agree with it, but you're just open for more discussion. Another takeaway from Robert's rules was protocol for handling motions, and whether that be on policy or some sort of vote that we're taking, the board member who makes the main motion should have the floor first for discussion unless they yield it. So if I make the motion to approve XYZ policy, somebody seconds it, then I should have the floor first unless I yield that to somebody else. And then some of these we already know, like letting everybody have a chance to speak to that. They said that, where's this one? It is helpful for the board and other board members, though not required, to know where each board member is on a particular issue and why they are voting a certain way. So maybe a lot of things passed unanimously, maybe it's 4-1, 3-2, whatever, but it's helpful for the public to know, and that doesn't necessarily have to be like a lengthy thing.
And I think too, don't you think that a lot of that determines whether that has been brought out in the discussion, because if in the discussion you make those points, then you probably don't need to do it again. But I understand.
Well, that would be after the motion, I think, was made, is that then there's the second and then there's the discussion.
Right.
So, there are some where you ask for a discussion and I'm like, we already discussed this last month, or I don't have anything new to offer, so maybe I just say, I would agree with adding the legislative code at the bottom, it kind of depends on what the issue is.
I think the situation kind of dictates that.
Let's see, what else? They talked about not having friendly amendments. I think that happens like in other GOP or JLC type things more often than not, but
and I don't know, in the real Roberts rules, if I have heard that there's really, I don't know, because what was happening is people will say, you know, this is just a friendly amendment, will you accept it, to the person that made the motion? And if they said yes, then they just voted on it instead of truly amending the motion. So they kind of told us the friendly amendments don't really exist.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's kind of the point that they were
making.
They
just don't really exist.
You're either amending it or you're not.
Yeah.
Right, so. Let's see. Substitute has the same precedent as an amendment. Some of these are on these slides already. I mean, I'm still kind of learning how these things work too, but.
While you're looking, do you mind if I back up to one thing that was, I noticed on the slides that you sent out, and it was motion to adjourn, and then, you know, it needed a second and so forth. The other thing that was taught to us by the big guru that came and did was that if you're following a specific agenda and you've completed all the items, that it's fine to say, we're completed. The chair can say, we've completed the agenda and this meeting is adjourned, rather than actually do a formal motion. So that one could be either way.
Yeah. They did talk about, if you were in closed session, you can't adjourn from a closed session.
Right.
So coming back into open meeting and then adjourning, so. That's all I have basically from the Robert's Rules and on the slides. So, any other questions on Robert's Rules stuff?
I think, I'm just going to put my 2 cents worth in here. I think we do as good a job as any board that I've witnessed their board meeting. I mean, we're not perfect, but we do pretty well with following the Robert's Rules protocols.
I think so.
One question I have, and I don't know if this is like nitpicky or not, but or if it just we have come to an agreement. On one of the slides, it's number 6, like all in favor say aye, all opposed say nay, versus yes and no. So I don't know what the...
And again, I don't think... I have a say yay and no, because I think nay sounds like a horse, but but we can certainly change to nay if the board wants to do that.
Well, we debated that night with that kid, and it's kind of a, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of a...
They're synonyms.
Both mean
they
the
mean
same.
The same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you want me to go over another?
It's entirely up to you. If there's something that jumped out at you that you
I can be brief. I went to, I don't know, they offered it multiple times, but the class was remoralizing the demoralized, and so it was talking about the difference between teacher burnout and being demoralized. And burnout is more of like internal, like you're tired, you're exhausted, you're overwhelmed, and it's kind of an internal thing, like too much work, not enough time or resources, versus demoralized is not just frustration, but kind of some factors are outside of your control. And how that relates to us as board members is when, you know, we're approving policy or different things that kind of affect the teachers being supported or feeling supported. Obviously, there's some things that are in place that's legislative-wise, but so, you know, one of the causes and sources of demoralization is like lack of voice in policies, practices, or PD, and so just kind of keeping that in mind when we meet. And like there are external factors that they might not feel in control of. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I'm trying to think of a good example to go with it. Could be curriculum, could be like a behavior policy that they're bound this way and they feel frustrated in the classroom with a student, and I don't know, lots of different things to keep in mind though. So.
Isn't that the bottom line? So many things. Thank you. Anything else?
Well, one of them, we were all in the AI one, was pretty interesting.
That was interesting.
That was interesting.
So, no, I yield my time to somebody else.
Perfect. Mandy, do you have something you want to share from the conference?
Do you know, the only class that I attended that I feel like was unique, like that I
no one else went to, was the, and I've already yapped about it, so, the one about the National Board Certification process and program for teachers. This group that presented did an outstanding job, and they're a coalition that is funded by the state. I think they're actually funded by USBE, actually. But they're all board certified, and they explain what it does for your teachers, how it helps with teacher retention, how it improves students' educational experiences. They have track record for improving test scores. And it's just not a widely utilized program in Utah. And they said Utah actually has one of the lowest participation rates. And so it's something that they're trying to turn around and change. And I think the biggest thing to watch, thank you, is that there is legislation going through. And I apologize, they said the name of the gentleman that's sponsoring it, and I forgot. But I will look it up and send it to you guys, because I do think if we even sent out just a brief email showing support, that it's an easy thing to do for our teachers that wouldn't cost us anything. But they want to increase the stipend amount at the state level from $1,000 to $5,000 per year per teacher. And there's so few teachers taking advantage of the program right now that it's not a big ask. You know, it's the overall cost
to do it.
Yeah, that it's not going to take that much even to fund that initiative. So that'll be interesting to see if that shakes out. In the meantime, like I talked to Scott a little bit about possibly offering more at the district level, because they did also put up a slide showing each district and what they offer a board certified teacher for a pay raise. And a lot of districts offer nothing. So I was really impressed to see Morgan on the board that we do have an offering. And I think it's probably, I'm assuming, in line with just a lane increase or a step of some sort. Because everyone's number was so unique that it's like, where did you get that number? But I think it probably correlates with something.
That's a stipend.
It's a stipend. Okay. Okay, that makes sense. But because we're giving that stipend currently to zero people, it doesn't seem like it would hurt at all to increase it. You know, if we made it more attractive and said, hey, we're looking at 2,000, 3,000. You know, Park City offers 3,000, and obviously they have the funds to do it. But, you know, as we're changing as a district and our funding looks a little bit different, that it just might be something that's worth looking into, especially where we have so few teachers taking advantage, that if it changed the minds of one or two teachers, it would be such a small overall cost to the district.
Well, and I had a thought too, which you probably have the answer to this because you're on the Education Foundation, but when that email came out today that went out mm-hmm. to all the district employees reminding them, you know, that there was a scholarship available, I'm thinking, would this be available to do the
100%
to do the national?
And that was why I was so interested in going and learning about that, because as a foundation board, we're trying to look for opportunities to boost teachers and to put more money into the classrooms, and because we have some donors that would be interested in these types of programs. So that's what got me in the door, thinking the foundation could do something here. And then as soon as they said it's going to change their salary annually by this dollar, I realized the foundation can't do that. That's messy. But we could do a one-time really easily if you go and take the time, because it's a year-long, sometimes 2 years-long process to do this. It's a lot like obtaining a master's degree. Mm-hmm. And for someone to put in that level of commitment, take away that many hours from their family, it'd be really nice to have something big back to show for it. So that's what I wanted to talk to Michelle about. Is, you know, if we could do the $5,000 as just a one time, if you're willing to go and get your boards. And that way, you know, if we grow to the point where we say we have 2 teacher scholarships available and 10 candidates apply, that's hard because it's limiting, and, you know, you have 20% of your teachers that are going to get that. But this is something that's available to anyone. 100% of the people who do this can have the money. It's not first come, first serve. It's not the best applicant.
it's open to all. So that's something to kind of offset that and say, we're so sorry you didn't get this. However, take a look at this, because this is a really great way to increase your education as a teacher. And you're making a face. What?
I just think that's a great, the foundation needs to hear that.
Yeah.
I think that's far preferable than having just random teachers applying for random funds for grad school.
Okay, see, I did too, but I didn't want to insert myself where I'm not a teacher. I don't have that background. You do,
well,
so that's
gonna,
really
I mean,
good
yeah,
to hear.
Yeah, there'll probably be some disappointed people, but I mean, yeah. You're going to be able, I think, I would assume that the cost associated with National Board Certification is not on par with, I mean, it's probably the time that it takes, but
it's
funding that, I think for MEF to incentivize that,
mm-hmm.
I think you're going to get far more return on that investment. I think that's a really,
okay.
The face I'm making is.
And I agree, but I wanted
I
to make sure you were on board with it, because
yeah,
I'm not
sure.
Sure where no one takes advantage of it. Is it like, is there a reason? Is there a, well, we don't really like it.
I don't think it's, I'll tell you from experience,
mm-hmm.
it's, and then Angie, you can jump in here too.
I've been
having you
your questions about it too.
But in districts I've been in the past, and I was in Park City long enough to take advantage of a $3,000, but it's usually in the hundreds, and it's not worth the time. It's not worth the
yeah.
investment of your time and
yeah.
resources.
Yeah. Ours used to be in the 700 range. I think it's up to maybe 1,000, but it's a stipend. It's not on the salary, and so it's like when you retire.
Doesn't help retirement.
You know, okay. And part of it is like not knowing all the details and
mm-hmm.
how it works. Okay, I don't really know how it works, but I've also heard like, yeah, all the time spent putting into it is like getting a master's degree. You know, that's definitely increasing your steps and
yeah.
or your lanes. And then as you each year you teach your steps. And so for me, that was more bang for my buck. So I haven't even really looked into it for myself a whole lot.
Okay.
What all it entails.
Yeah.
So I think education is part of it, like kind of putting it out there. Here's what it is.
Piece.
If the district or the foundation is going to pay for you to take the class, so it's not money out of my pocket,
right.
and the time, and then here's the return that I'm getting, I definitely would consider it.
Yeah.
So that was my question, and having a discussion today about receiving your master's degree in that, because it's immediate once you complete it. It's on your pay and it's
mm-hmm.
your whole career. But the other one time, if you was to decide as a teacher right now, if I'm going to take 2 years, am I going to get my master's degree or am I going to get that? If you had to make that choice right now, bang for the buck and longevity of your career, if you plan on staying, which one benefits you the greatest?
I'm going to take the path of least resistance, which
uh-huh.
is a master's degree. And a master's degree is not 2 years anymore. You can mail order a master's
yep.
degree
yeah.
as a means to an end in 6 months.
Yeah.
And so I think,
but they changed
that
a little
bit. With the board certification, you're going to get, there's going to be more rigor, there's going to be more accountability, and you're going to have more consistent outcomes with teachers than you're going to get. I mean, what you're getting with a teacher's with a master's, it doesn't necessarily, I think, come out in the walk like.
That was my thought.
Is that's why I thought that was interesting.
The piece of paper of the master's degree may make a difference in your educator's ability to educate, but it also may not. It can easily be phoned in.
But
you know?
You have quantifiable. You, that was interesting when you said they provided data.
Yes.
And that's, I don't know. I'm really intrigued by that.
Well, and if you look at the process, it was very interesting that, you know, for me, schoolwork was learn, regurgitate, test, you know, or write paper, test, get the paper, walk out the door. And this process is extremely different. You have a mentor, you have a coach. You don't have to attend classes. You're not actually learning anything. You're altering the way that you teach. So you provide a video of you teaching and you get feedback and they say, let's try it a little bit different. And then you video it again and you get feedback. And
most teachers resist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to Kelly's point, I think though, even as a stipend, and Angie makes a great point too. It doesn't factor into your retirement. But if, even as a stipend, if it was in the 3K, or if it was up in the multiple $1,000 range, that's in perpetuity
mm-hmm.
in the district. And
forever.
So, I mean, it still affects your bottom line. And like you said, where that's, I don't know.
I guess when I was considering masters versus that years and years ago, when it back when it was like 700 or maybe even 600s, it was like, okay, so 600's easy math. $50 more a month, master's degree, this much more, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, so if there's a bigger incentive.
Yeah. It's about the difference, though, in the lane. Wouldn't you, in most districts, like it's 5% on a step, but a lane's probably in that 3,000 to 4,000, which is why I would suspect Park City has it in that that range.
And,
so.
And the master's of longevity. So my question is, it's moving, as we discuss about it in the coming months. The board certification is a classroom experience. They're recording it, and they're trying to coach you where you could do it in your work day.
Yeah,
now, how much time is required
part.
After school to complete that 2 years?
It's not that you're required to attend this much classroom,
right.
or this, you know, it's all done on your own. It's all done at your own pace. They've explained it can be completed in under a year easily, but they understand that these are all heavily burdened working teachers.
Yeah.
Most choose to do it in 2 years because there are four different components. And one is writing oriented, one is the videos, one is the coaching, the mentoring. So you have these different pieces, but you can choose to take them a piece at a time.
Yeah.
I can say, like, in my experience, and I don't know what it's like here in Morgan, but I was never really like that process was never really explained to me. Like, what does it entail? What is it exactly? So, and that may be the case here too, like people not knowing what they need to do, but also like if it's this stipend versus like, Park City stipend, like that would be more intriguing and incentivized to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe with the foundation's help, on both sides of that levy, we help to those who want the master's because it doesn't hurt us.
Right.
But may we learn how to incentivize both of them in our district.
Mm-hmm.
So we're reaching out to both of them, and in that time set, maybe those who are seeking the master's, part of their master's, whatever they seek, could be part of that program too.
Yeah, those were kind of my takeaways.
We could find a way to incentivize both of those with the help.
This group is willing to come and give a workshop if we wanted to offer a workshop for our district, just to get more information about it. The other thing I love about it is you're out $0 to try.
Right, yeah.
It's not like signing up for a college program. If you fail your classes, you're out the cash. There's no money up front. You pay when you complete, and the payments are made through, I don't know if it's USBA or USBE.
So
one of them sponsors the entire
day one
program.
Satisfactory completion of it?
It is scored, and there are people who don't pass their first try.
In which case, they're out nothing?
Nothing.
So if you pass, that, I mean...
Yeah, you're literally...
That really makes it a seamless process for the MEF, right?
Yes.
Furnish your certification or passing score.
Uh-huh. Show us the paper and you get the money.
And the MEF will, and then the district will furnish you the stipend in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I see as the board, you know, maybe our role certainly is to promote the education of this and make sure that our teachers are aware of it and that support for the foundation. But yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was something I didn't know anything about. I enjoyed learning about it. And I think the application within the foundation is a unique piece that we have here in the county that we
It's not discussed. I agree with Angie. It's not something it was ever brought up or I was ever educated on in any of the school districts I've worked for, in any of the states I've worked in. So,
I think it was just at the bottom of the salary schedule,
so there,
and it was just like,
by the way,
like,
what does that mean?
Whatever it is. And then some people ask about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that for a couple $100, no thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great information. Thank you.
But,
Kelly, do you have some takeaways that you want to share?
Ate too much. Didn't drink enough Coke.
Agreed.
We'll be on the tower next year.
Yes.
Mandy, thank you for that. I went to the one discussion by the panel that had the three women on it about legislation and what's going on. And they had the member of the House, the Senate, and then they had the state school board member, and they got to ask questions there. hearing their fears and concerns about the money they're not getting this year and where they're going to come up with it, and who's going to be sacrificed to gain that 5% of $330 million. They took some of the questions, and a couple superintendents, was awesome, made their feelings known about some of where the $80 million is spent with no accountability and things like that. Also went to, I want to say it's Senator Kwong. She did a good job in her portfolio. It states her political party and that, but she was very non-biased in the fact that she tried to keep it around the kids, because her children went to public school and her husband is a school teacher in the middle school. And her biggest thing, and Gaylene and I talked a little bit about this, is her complaint about members of the legislation and that. They serve 2 years, are up for re-election, and they're just always rotating and trying to push their agendas through and trying to be successful that way. And yet, as it rolled down to us, a lot of that is not time successful. You don't have time enough to implement those bills and all that stuff they pass. Like we've seen in this policy last week, which we talked about, the first year they did it, 6 months later there's already an amendment that the poor superintendent's trying to put in there and get done and passed. You know, some of it they just need to figure out. Good luck down there. There's your challenge.
Yeah.
If you make it, have it, you know, minimum 2 years to accomplish this thing. Just don't pass a bill, run it out the door, and then expect school districts or whoever it may be to try to accomplish those, because it's unrealistic. It really is. In all the years we've been going down there, some of those things, it's just totally unrealistic to be able to accomplish them by the time that the next time rolls around.
And the State Board of Education has to write rules for everything they pass.
Yeah. And so it's...
Even some of the ones like this one that's, you know, making the news and stuff right
yeah.
now, we already have our own, and, leave that to the districts, kind of stay in your lane of... I agree with the problems that they cause in classrooms and whatnot, and the disruptions, but at the same time, it's that balance of legislation versus local control.
Yeah. And she did a good job talking about that, and also about the parents' rights with their children, you know, and all that line to be drawn, and that's going to be one that's going to go into legal forever. And, of course, they talked about those things, so that was good. I attended both... The AI.
Sorry to interrupt. I went to that same class, but a different session.
Yeah,
it was interesting how they varied, because they had different legislators or senators there and the things that came up. So I left that class thinking, this could go totally, I wonder if I should stay in this two sessions to hear both of them.
I thought the same thing, because it was offered 4 times. We had different USB board members and different
and how they all have a spin on it.
Yeah.
Just different information about the same topic.
Yeah, yes. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And you're going to get to witness a lot of that.
Yes.
And so,
but
those were good
outcomes, I would say, no matter which class you were in, the feedback that they got was, you can't push bills at a rate that doesn't allow us time to implement. You can't push bills that are mandates that are unfunded if you're trying to cut funding, and let us have the feedback, or let us provide the feedback before you rewrite something
and
that just came down.
Exactly, have that seat at the table to talk about it.
And when the AI went in, about, I think most of us were in the same one later that day upstairs, and that was a good one. It was good to, and that one brought some, ability to my mindset about not having such a fear to it, because it can only do what you tell it to. It can't create, it can't do all this other stuff, so there's a lot of fear out there and the unknowing, and that was a good one. Also, I went to trying to make a better district and better board and being more informed and visiting that, and I think that one that keeps coming back to mind, we talked about it, is our board visits to all the schools we started years ago. You know, going around and lifting them and strengthening them and letting them know what they have, they have a voice. So that was a good one. And those are some I went to.
Could I jump back to the legislative thing? Because one of the takeaways that I got from that was that Senator said, the best way to communicate when there's a bill that's going to affect education, is that the best way to communicate is to tell them with numbers, this is going to affect our district this way. And it was also mentioned that if we're sending out an email to our legislator, your most effective one is going to be in your subject line, how do you want them to vote on that issue? Vote yes, vote no. Mm-hmm. And then she said have three bullet points.
Or maximum of 2 to 3 sentences.
Yeah.
Because they can't read.
Because they won't.
Not 10 pages.
to back that
what
up.
What I've heard too, I've heard to that is like when you're emailing your district or your rep or senator is to include that you're a constituent. Or, I mean, in this case, maybe a school board member from whatever, you know.
Right. Well, and something that I've thought about since then, so I would really like feedback, is sometimes those things happen fast. I mean, the committee meeting is here, and then it's in either the House or the Senate for a vote, and it's like that legislator is going to have that input timely. So, Scott, thank you. Thank you, Scott, and bless his heart. He watches so many of those committee meetings and tracks things so well. So I think he may be, along with the superintendent, our key points to say, oh, this is something that we need to be aware of. And I talked to Kelly before the meeting this morning and said, you know, are you willing to, with me, be our board's go-to, you know, that if you guys notice something, we'll keep in touch with Scott and the superintendent, but we could take turns or divide and conquer and send out these messages to them that's pertinent to our board. So what are your thoughts about that?
I think they're either on the website or app or maybe both, there's a way that it can alert you, like, okay, now this bill is now in committee, or this, it's going to the House.
It
next.
Does, but have you ever tried to follow
them? No, I'm not super familiar with it.
You want to follow that 137 of them in the last session?
But yeah. Scott is really good at that. I've tried that, and it's not an easy task. But I just thought it's probably not something that every single member of our board needs to, because you can't. I mean, you're in the middle of your work day. But if we kind of say, if somebody hears something that has come up that we all need to, that every board member needs to be heard on, I just think that communication probably will be really helpful to us in this session, because they're going to be looking to change a lot of things. And I'll give you some examples when I talk about truth and taxation about some things that happened with that. But anyway, just my idea is that Kelly said he'd be willing, and I will be willing to try to really jump in and get those messages either through the superintendent or one of us to our legislators in a timely, quick way this year, and see if that makes, we notice any difference.
Yeah.
So, Andrea, what were your takeaways?
Yeah, one session that I attended that was really good was from Workforce Services.
I hit your mic button.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the one session that I attended that I felt was really good was through Workforce Services. And they have a program that they demonstrated in their session in this VR career simulations, where they come in and they have, the Oculus goggles that the students could put on, and they have there's 5 pages here of all the different career opportunities that they could look at, and it walks you through, like, here's vet tech, you're like a little scenario where you're watching them, here's like this one's like a dog with an ear infection, designing a new building for a school under architecture. I mean, there's just all of these different simulations, and they're just like 5 to 10 minutes long, and so they can come into your school like for a career fair or some kind of opportunity, working with the counselors to help students explore, do career exploration. So today I was down at Mountain Green Middle School, and I was meeting with Sunny Burkholder and just shared it with her, because she was telling me about their lunch and learns, and she was like, I would love to get more information on that. So I've reached out to our workforce representative from our area, from Ogden. I'm just waiting to hear back from him on like who our contact is and how I would get our school best, our counselors, best get our counselors this information should they want to use it. Because anything with VR and high school, middle school students, right, is going to speak to their level. So I thought that was really helpful. We talked about the AI and the legislature. Some of us were, you know, in those same sessions. I liked the ones, there was one on just being an effective leader and a networking one that were similar. If any of you guys didn't go to that one, I have the handout. I can scan an email. But one thing that, you know, I took away is we all deal with the same concerns. Communication, you know, tax rate, best using the funds that we're given, governance over, attendance, a lot of these same things. But what a difference it is to live in a smaller community. I mean, I was at a table with Tintic, who has 300 kids in their whole system, versus like Jordan's district, right? And so when they're like, you get those bigger districts, and one rep was like, I have 15 schools in my geographic region. How do I get to all those community councils? How do I meet with those building principals? I mean, we can very easily get to our schools, you know, more often than once a month. We can regularly attend those councils. So because of that, I feel like we have so many good things going with our communication, with our relationship with our administrators and stuff. So it's just interesting to just hear the different, same problems, you know, same issues, but different scales, you know. So it's just good to do some of that networking with other boards of throughout the state. And then the one that I attended from the School Land Trust, I mean, it's just information. We've had Marcus come here and present to us. One thing I was wondering, I've had timed out here, on the timeline for the final reports, we talked, I think it was in our last meeting, about changing those to like June to give the principals more time. And I asked this last month, but are we okay to vary from that timeline that USBE wants them? Do we have that leeway as a district to move that date?
Timeline for what?
When USBE
trust lands funds.
Trust lands.
Have to be submitted to the state.
Yeah,
like going off the timeline that they sent us for that like May 15th date, we had talked about as a district moving that a little bit to give principals more time, but are we okay? Is that within our scope to change that date?
Yeah, we checked with Marcus Chan at the state.
I thought that's what you guys had said, but it came to my mind while I was in that session, and I just wanted to remember back from our meetings time or two ago to make sure that that's what we had decided.
All
we were in line
it really does is delays the pot when the money winds
when
up.
When the money arrives, that's what's
arrives.
Different,
that's
right?
Yeah.
And while we're talking trust lands, can I bring one thing up too? Because we're starting the new year where we each have a new school that's going to be our community council responsibility. And I think if each one of us, and I actually took a look today at the one that I have for January is Morgan Elementary. And if, as board members, we will be really diligent to look occasionally at their websites and make sure that the required things are on there. And if not, just send that principal, that administrator, a message and say, you know, this is what I've noticed. Is there something that I can help you with? Or, you know, is what do you need?
Yeah.
You know, what do you need to? And a lot of times it's just little things. Like Morgan Elementary, when I'm there and I'm like, oh my heck, this is still last year's stuff. Well, it wasn't last year's information, but the banner hadn't been changed. That
yeah.
said,
I talked with Annie about that last
time. I think all of the ones I've checked still have the
2024-25
banner.
Ramona said, like, yes, we have our stuff, the heading is wrong. But and so we were trying to fix that last night.
Yeah,
right,
it's
Andy?
And so
I fixed most of that today because I haven't been to all the pages.
But the thing about that
is
we're connecting to them. You know, mm-hmm. they know that we're paying attention, and it just makes it so that it all flows a little more smoothly, and that everybody, we just keep getting better, you know. So if you'll just kind of take that on this year, especially to kind of keep track of your school and go to the community councils when you can. You don't think you have to go to every single one. In fact, we say
ask President Moore on that subject. So from, like on our agenda, it still has our assignments from last year, at least for me, under the community council, but now we're going to move to what it says in the board book. Is that yeah. correct?
Yeah.
For this calendar year.
Mm-hmm. So it's in your board book, and it's what was in our packet, that schedule.
Okay. I don't have anything else. Those were the ones that I mostly wanted to bring back. I thought it was a great conference. I had a lot of takeaways from it this year.
I thought there were some good sessions.
Oh, if you haven't had a chance to look through this, it was in our blue folder we got registration. It's like a little book.
Yeah.
So that's all.
So I'll finish up, and then we'll have time to take a little break before we start our board meeting. But one that I went to and took a lot of notes on was truth and taxation. And the handout that I got that I'm going to pass out to everybody, there were a lot of districts in there that had gone for a bond or had gone for something that they needed for truth and taxation. They were doing truth and taxation for a certain purpose, and as you all know, more than 50% were turned down this time. And it was kind of interesting because that's where the presenter said, if you will take these 10 things and continually look and get somebody, he actually gave a name that I'll give to Scott and to the superintendent, because Scott prepares a lot of that information for us when we do decide that that's something that we need to do in our district. But he said that having that person on the state level to say, okay, I've done this, do you approve? And he said, if you've done that with all 10 steps, he says, I'm sure he was so sick of me, actually, they've become pretty good friends on Christmas card giving basis now, but he said, then what happened a lot this past year, was that the legislature passed the law, and people were using the tax department, they were using them as the go-to, and the legislature said, and they had done everything that they had been asked to do, but they were denied in the end and refused, and they said, well, you should have read the law. And it's like, oh, we did read the law, but there were a lot of little teeny things like you can't be one day late. If we were going to do a truth in taxation, we need to have that information to the county before June. We need to advertise that, and there are just all these steps. So it was interesting, and I think let me just say, and Scott, I think, would back this up, but the first thing that I'll say is that Scott has done a good job of educating us, because everything that this presenter was saying, I'm like, yep, we know about the certified tax rate, we know about this tax rate, and which ones you have to do truth and taxation. So Scott's done an excellent job of our training. And then the other thing is that the more, again, the more we're going to inevitably at times need to do truth and taxation, because we'll have needs, just like when we really wanted to bring on some resource officers and there's not funding to do that, then you have truth and taxation, and you explain to your public, this is the reason that we're holding this, and most people don't understand how it works, that when property values go up, the rate floats down. And so although we're not changing the rate, it's a tax increase because it's more than it could be. But so I think it's also a good opportunity to educate. And I think the more education we have about that process, because it is the process the state has for us, so that's what we have to work with. But we also have, you know, some guidelines and some help. So I'll just give everybody one of these. Do you want one?
Yeah, you'll cherish it.
And agenda item number 3, just let me tell you really quickly. It says superintendent and business administrator contracts. Like we did the superintendent last year and this year, we've tried to offset them so that we don't do them both the same year. We'll be the business administrators. But in looking through those contracts, I felt like there were some places where I wasn't sure if we were in full compliance of having, you know, we can only do that contract for 2 years. So I just wanted all of you to know that I sent our attorney Heidi our contracts and asked her to look through them and give us some suggestions. That's all there was on that one. So we have about 7 minutes until our board meeting starts, so we'll do a little break.
Thanks. Thank you, ma'am.
And thanks, everybody, for being here at 4 o'clock.
Thank you. For as close to it as we can.